Good morning. Welcome back to the Broadcast Retirement Network. This is BRN AM for Thursday, April 18th, 2024. At our top story today, what an eye exam can reveal about your overall health. Joining me now to discuss this and a lot more, Dr. Stephanie Marianneau is an ophthalmologist and a spokesperson for the American Academy of Ophthalmology. Dr. Marianneau, it is so great to see you. Thanks so much for joining us on the program this morning.
Thank you for having me.
And so many of us, we care about our health. We go to the physician on a regular basis, our primary care physician, or at least we hope to go to check our vitals. How important is it to go to your ophthalmologist to get your eyes examined on an annual basis?
It is very important. And as I remind my patients on a regular basis, you only have one pair of eyes, and so you really want to take care of them. And just, it's important also to recognize that when you get your glasses checked and your eyes checked for glasses, that is really only looking at one aspect of the eye. You really did not get the complete and thorough medical dilated exam where we actually look at the eye and we can determine whether you have, in some cases, high blood pressure, high cholesterol. We can diagnose brain tumors. We can diagnose strokes. We can diagnose lymphoma. We used to be the first providers to diagnose HIV back in the 80s because of the manifestations in the eye. We can diagnose metastatic breast cancer and metastatic other tumors that can travel to the eye. So our exam is so much more than just checking your glasses and updating your contact lenses. We are really looking at the health of the eye as it pertains to the health of the body.
Yeah, and really good point. I mean, there's that connectivity. And, you know, when we have spoken with dentists who deal with oral health care, they often say something similar, which is that the mouth can be the gateway into the body. Well, it literally is. Well, your eyes can be the gateway into the body in terms of how your body is doing.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's why it's so important to make sure that you have a complete and thorough dilated eye exam by an ophthalmologist who is the only eye doctor who graduated from medical school. And then we completed an additional 4 years of training to really learn how to diagnose and treat both medically and surgically all of the diseases of the eye.
And you listed out some of the ailments, lymphoma, glaucoma, some of the other things. I'm not going to pretend to list them all out because I'd get them wrong. Mm-hmm. But how often should you go to an eye professional like yourself? And does it matter your age? Should you go as young as a young child all the way up through a senior adult? But how frequently should we go to the eye doctor?
I think that's a great question, and it depends on a number of different things. If we start at infancy, children who are at risk for eye conditions, for example, children who are premature, those infants will be immediately evaluated by the pediatric ophthalmologist. And depending on what is found on those exams will depend on how frequently they are then seen in the future. In terms of young adults, we'll go back in terms of, say, preschool children, they are often screened by school nurses and pediatricians. And if abnormalities are found on those exams, they should be evaluated by an ophthalmologist. We'd like to have school-age children evaluated by an ophthalmologist before they start school so that we can make sure that there's nothing that could impair their learning that we could correct, or perhaps if there are other diseases that may not have been diagnosed, because as we know, children can be tough to diagnose because they can't always verbalize how they're feeling or what they're seeing. So it is absolutely important that they are evaluated before they start school. Once you are in school, again, it will also determine on various risk factors that you may have. Sadly, today, many of the children are developing diabetes at a much earlier age. And so the pediatrician will in turn refer those patients to the ophthalmologist much earlier than normal, for example. Mostly we say that children and adults should be examined every 1 to 2 years. If you are a healthy adult and you've never had your eyes examined, By age 40, you have to have your eyes examined. We think of it just like getting a colonoscopy, and for women, getting the breast cancer screenings, and men, the prostate cancer screenings. We insist that you have, again, a complete and thorough dilated eye exam by an ophthalmologist if you've never had one by age 40. Hopefully, you've had many before age 40. After age 40, they will determine what risk factors you have. Perhaps you have a family history of glaucoma, perhaps you have diabetes, cholesterol, you may have an early stage of cancer or collagen vascular disease, such as rheumatoid arthritis or lupus. And those patients will then be seen more frequently than, say, yearly. So it really is important to get in and see your ophthalmologist, and then they will decide based on what they find on that exam whether you should be seen every year, whether you should be seen every 6 months, or whether you should be seen every other year.
Yeah, really good advice. Well, Stephanie, I need to take a very quick break. When we come back, we'll talk more about getting that eye checkup, I should say, at any age. You're going to want to stay tuned right here on BRN AM. Imagine a new television network that will make you richer, healthier, and in control of your financial future. This network is for the policewoman in Nashville, Tennessee, the baker in Dubuque, Iowa, the teacher in Lexington, Kentucky. We want to make the idea of savings and retirement culturally relevant. But what do you see as a defining issue of the midterms?
Especially for the smaller businesses, I mean, they are the lifeblood of the American economy.
Featuring exclusive interviews, current affairs, and docuseries.
33 years old, you retired early.
The philosophy is money only matters if it helps you live a life that you love.
But you got to start thinking about retirement as soon as you get in.
The Broadcast Retirement Network will drive very high engagement with premium partnerships. So this isn't retirement and savings for your parents or grandparents. This is for all Americans. And we're going to change the way you think about money. Welcome to the next frontier of retirement and savings. This is BRN, the Broadcast Retirement Network. Welcome back. We're joined this morning by Dr. Stephanie Marionneau. She is an ophthalmologist and also a spokesperson for the American Academy of Ophthalmology. Stephanie, thanks so much for staying with us this morning.
Thank you for having me. Very happy to be here.
Yeah, this is a fun but yet important conversation. And it's part of the maintenance that we all have to do throughout our years to ensure that we have everything kind of running smooth. And I think that's certainly important. I want to focus this part of the segment, you know, a lot of about mental health. And if you can't see, just like if you can't hear, you know, by all counts, if you can't hear, you're kind of disassociated, you're not part of the group. And I would think that the same holds true if you can't see. It makes it very difficult to associate with other people. What is the impact of eye health on mental health?
That's a great question, and that's really of emerging interest because of the impact on mental health within the younger community and now also within the older community. And when you are not able to see your environment, it can lead to depression as well as falls, as well as other types of injuries, which again will contribute to the problems that we're beginning to see with mental health. The key for older patients is if they feel that their vision is declining, or if the caregivers witness at what they presume to be a decline in vision, get in and get evaluated by your ophthalmologist, because many times the decrease in vision may be correctable. They may have cataracts. They may have macular degeneration. They may have untreated diabetic retinopathy. They may have other conditions that we may be able to, at least partially, if not completely, restore the vision. So it really is important that if there is some evidence of a decline in vision that's resulting in mental health, issues that they absolutely include the ophthalmologist as one of the physicians whom they would consult about these emerging concerns.
And for caregivers, I mean, oftentimes it's hard to get into the person's head about what they're hearing and what they're seeing. Are there telltale signs, for example, with a young child squinting, moving closer, outside of complaining, because, you know, sometimes we complain about our, but if we're not complaining outwardly, are there things that a caregiver can notice from the outside and say, hey, that we need to get that person checked out?
Excellent question. In terms of children, you can, again, observe their habits, and you hit right on many of them. If you notice that they are sitting really close to the television, or if they're holding their device really, really close, that is a concern. You would want to absolutely have that checked, because it may just be that they're nearsighted, and a simple pair of glasses could make a big difference in their life and also impact their performance academically. You can also sort of test them when you're in the car with them. You say, can you read that sign? Can you see the stoplight? Can you help me with directions? And if it looks as though they're just not seeing anything, that's when you want to check, because many times children, of course, have no frame of reference. They don't know what they're supposed to see. And since they're not driving, they don't know people are reading signs. They're just there for the ride. So you want to be a good observer, and usually the teachers are very good observers, as well as the pediatrician. And if there is some suggestion that the child is not seeing, that they don't fixate. When you look at their eyes, they don't look at you. Or if one eye seems to look in a different direction, or if the eyes are moving, we call that nystagmus. Those are things that need to be immediately evaluated, because some aspects, for example, the drifting eye, can possibly be repaired surgically. And if it is repaired in a timely manner, then we're very optimistic that both eyes will completely develop visually. Because if you have some problems with the eyes in childhood, if they are not corrected within a time frame, that these eyes simply will not develop equally. And that's when you have the condition that you probably have heard of, is amblyopia, which is also known as the lazy eye. And that's one of the reasons that may occur, is that it's missed and it's past that window of time where we could have intervened to have restored the vision.
And last question, Stephanie, and I promise I'll let you get back to your patients. But, you know, an eye exam, generally that can be covered by separate employer insurance. You can also purchase insurance through, you know, as an individual. So there's really, other than going to the, you know, making an appointment, a lot of these programs, or a lot of these insurances cover what we're talking about this morning, which is getting covered and getting looked at by an ophthalmologist.
That's exactly right. I think there's a little confusion, because some people have vision plans, but as an ophthalmologist, again, we are the only eye doctors who have graduated from medical school and completed medical and surgical training. And so when you see an ophthalmologist, it is covered by your regular health insurance. It does not have to be through a vision plan. The vision plans often include eyeglass prescriptions and sort of just a check of whether you need glasses or not. But the exam by the ophthalmologist, the MD, is always part of your medical insurance. It's just as if you're seeing your primary care doctor or your pediatrician or dermatologist, ophthalmologist. We're all covered under your medical insurance.
And would that hold true with like something like a Medicare, if a senior, not to get into the nuances of Medicare, because I know it can be a little different depending on what you have, but that probably would hold true under certain forms of Medicare?
Absolutely. All forms of Medicare accept the ophthalmologist's exam as a medical exam. And so, you can.
So I don't see why people, I mean, you know, it's not even painful. I like sitting there and having someone look at my eye, the pressure test, the dilation, even that you guys have even new techniques to look at the retina without even dilating the eyes. I mean, it's absolutely amazing. Stephanie, we're going to have to leave it there. Great to see you. Thanks so much for joining us, and we look forward to having you back on the program again very soon.
Thank you for having me. It's been really, really enjoyable, and I hope I've been able to give some good information to your guests.
And that wraps up this episode of BRN AM. Have a topic of interest, someone you think we should talk to, then drop us a line. And don't forget, for all the latest curated news and lifestyle, wellness, finance, tech, so much more all in one place, check out today's edition of our daily newsletter, The Morning Pulse. Want to search our archives, check out our latest content? Well, then visit our website. We're back again tomorrow with another edition of BRN AM. We'll have a very special guest and another very important topic. Until then, I'm Jeff Snyder. Stay safe. Keep on saving. Don't forget, roll with the changes. Now is your opportunity to co-create content around any topic on the First Lifestyle and Wellness Network. Reach a global audience through our platform and co-own exclusive branded content. All of our programs are available on demand and also as audio-only podcasts, so you can take us on the go. Broadcast Retirement Network, available anytime, anywhere, and on any device.